Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, to another episode. As usual, as we do here, is once we welcome our guests, we give them the platform whereby they can go ahead, introduce themselves, and tell us what they have created today so that you and I can marvel in what they have done. And then we're going back and dissect all of that information so that we can gain knowledge, wisdom, the tools that they utilize to become better so that you and I also can become better human spirits while we're here. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thanks very much for having me, Ken. Very excited to be on the show.
Thank you so much, sir. Go ahead and introduce yourself. I know you're an author and all of that. Talk to them about what you have accomplished so far.
Yeah, so maybe just to give a brief backdrop to sort of my story, really. Was quite intelligent as a youngster, really. So went to the normal state schools, etc. But wasn't the best behaved of children, let's just put it that way. Always a bit of a pain to my parents and teachers, etc. So being quite intelligent, my parents made the decision to maybe see if I could go down the private school route to maybe give me a bit more discipline and be around people more of my intellect, essentially. So I did the exams and managed to get into the private schools, which are very expensive as well, by the way. But actually, after a few years there, I actually got expelled from the school. So that didn't seem to fix my inherent poor behaviour, let's call it. So
I think you're getting a little ahead of yourself here at the story, because we want to know who you are first, and because we're going to get to that story. But introduce yourself, tell them about your books and about your coaching and stuff like that, so they'll know that. And then we're heading back and we're going to get to hear all of that good stuff.
Okay, that's fine. So presently, I've written a book about becoming a person of value. So one of the major mistakes that many people make is that they go down a career path for monetary reasons. So they may want to become a doctor or an accountant or a sports person, etc., primarily for the financial benefit of doing that particular career or being in that industry. Now, if you look at anyone successful, they didn't look at it on the basis of doing it for a monetary reason. You look at any sports person, you know, let's look at tennis, for example. Roger Federer, he played tennis as a youngster just purely on the basis that he loved playing tennis. He would rather play tennis than do anything else in the world. And because of that, he has the focus, the discipline, and is willing to spend the time doing that sport, which then 10, 15 years later is remunerated in terms of a financial benefit, whether it's sponsorship deals or prize money, etc. So actually what the book is about is to understand that value is created before money can exchange hands. So let's take a prime example of that, and let's look at Amazon. Amazon is the most, well, one of the most valuable companies in the world, if not the most valuable. Obviously, you know, it fluctuates, doesn't it, on a month-by-month basis in some respects. But the reason that it is such a financial powerhouse is because they can order, or you can order something to your house anywhere in the world. You can pretty much order any item that you want, and it will be with you on the same day or next day. That's the value that they've given to consumers, which therefore reflects in such a massive financial balance sheet. So the book itself splits down into quite a number of chapters, really, about you becoming a person of value. So are you in your best physical shape? Are you in your best mental shape? How are you motivating yourself on a day-to-day basis? Are you being spiritual? Are you looking at what your strengths are in life? What personality type are you? Et cetera, et cetera. And it's all about marriage, you know, the marriage of all of that to ensure that you're a high value person and therefore attract the roles, the partner, the spouse, the friends that you're after, rather than chasing that life without actually building the value first. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. That's the way it should be. But as you mentioned, the world programs us differently. We are programmed to go and chase the money they'll give us the slew of reasons why they have to chase the money, security, of course, getting the things, of course, and all of those other reasons that they give to us. But I believe that when we do it that way, as most of us do, you'll see what we see in the world today. People are unhappy where they're at. There's this burnout. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Stress level is all over the place. That model is wrong. And then when you look at someone like a Federer, you look at someone like, Lewis Hamilton, and all these other people that are Tiger Woods, you see them loving the sport, loving what they do. And when you move from that, and I think that's the true model that we ought to all incorporate in our lives as human beings. But because of the system is designed to do it the current way that it's doing, until we have a, I don't know how we would, this is going to have to be like a global movement for something where the systems begin to approach the way we go about quantifying success and all of the other things that we do. And you still haven't tell the people your name yet, you know?
So, my name's Jeevan. And as we spoke about, I'm an author and a coach as well. So, you know, I think it was just a free-flowing conversation, wasn't it? And that's why I sort of didn't introduce myself.
Yeah. No. That's what we want to do. We want to get back. And like you said, you, on the end set, I love the premise of your book, because I believe that's the way it should be. That's how a person, an individual, should approach their life. None of us, very few of us do it. And it's a sad thing, but you're absolutely correct. That's the way we should do it. I believe that we are so special, you and I. We're such a unique individual that I've said this countless of times, that people build industries on the fact that we're such an individual person, and that we ought to take that in account to see how precious we are, because I have my own fingerprint. No one on this planet have it. I have my own retina. No one has it. We have businesses and industries that are having billions of dollars because you and I, Jeevan, is different. And so talk to us. I know you had started talking about some of your young childhood. Continue that conversation about, being in private school and the fact that you were saying that you were the black sheep dealing with some of the issues. So talk to us a little more about that young man.
Yeah, so I think where the story we sort of left off before we sort of came back on the tangent was that I basically got kicked out of school. So one of the reasons, as well as the intellect side, that I was being pushed into the private school side of things was to try and build some discipline. So in the state school prior, I was actually going to school with the headmaster because I'd been thrown off the bus. As I said, it was just a concoction of poor behaviour, really, that led to that. Went to private school and the same thing sort of happened. And the question was, well, why is that happening? And that's something that I've sort of addressed a lot later on down the line. I think if you look at a lot of people, and that's just from my own experience, is that sometimes when people are very disciplined when they're young and their parents have forced them to work hard, to do their homework every night and be really focused, they haven't let their hair down at any point in life. And actually, it can come back to bite them later on. So I know a lot of people who have been really disciplined during the earlier years. But as they hit 25 or 30, they haven't really explored themselves and explored the world. And actually, that's when they then start to, you know, go out every night and, you know, take drugs and drink heavily. And it's sort of the wrong way to do things. So I'm not saying that what I did was correct, but it gave me a lot of time to understand all of the mistakes that I made at a very young age. And I think that's why I sort of come full circle to understand that you do need to work hard. You do need to understand what your gifts are. You do need to understand what your personality type is. And it's all about the marrying those things up. So you mentioned Federer, didn't you, a moment ago, and Lewis Hamilton, I think, as well. Now, they were very lucky, I believe, in the way that they found their gift very young, and their gift and their passion was very obvious. For most people, it's not very obvious what your gift is.
Yeah.
It's not abundantly clear that your passion and what you're good at sort of tie in together. So I've got a lot of passions, but it doesn't mean to say that those passions are going to bring me financial reward. And we talked about financial reward before. You know, it shouldn't be done primarily for that reason. But if you're good at something and you provide the value for that, monetary value will be compensated later on. So if you've got a business and my idea for your business made you £1 billion, there is going to be some remuneration for me for doing that, which is why salesmen get paid commission, because that's the remuneration for actually providing a mutual value to the business and to the consumer. So again, just to touch on that a little bit more, again, with one of the points you made about the monetary system, the reason that Federer and Lewis Hamilton were so lucky was they had parents who supported their passions, and they developed their passions and purpose before they had financial burdens. For most people, they actually generate those financial burdens before they really understand who they are. So they'll come out of university, already, you know, eye deep in debt, they buy a house, etc. And then they're on that conveyor belt of having to service that debt. Then it becomes a sort of race between, can I earn more than my debts? 5-10 years down the road, they're very unhappy, as you've said, because they're in a job that they hate. It's not fulfilling their inherent needs of the soul, and they become to resent themselves, or they come to resent themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
And then a lot of the time from there, they then go backwards. So they say, actually, do you know what? I've had enough of this. Let's sell the house. Let's go back to the start and actually work out what I'm good at, what my passions are, and start from there. So it's quite a difficult situation for most people. And I think the key difference between the human race and every other animal, including plants as well, or species, is that other species tend to grow as big as they can, big as they can grow. So if you plant a tree, the seed will grow as big as it can based on the area that you plant the tree. Humans don't tend to do that. Humans tend to distract themselves, find ways to not fulfill their purpose. You know, people drink, people eat rubbish food, drink, you know, soda or fizzy drinks, etc. Plants and animals never really do that, because they understand that fulfilling their best self is really what life's about. So going back to my story in terms of what happened at school, maybe all of that took all of that to realize that actually I do need to fulfill my potential, and that's what's going to make me happy, which is obviously not what happened. It's not what happened at school. It was probably the inverse of that, if that makes sense, Ken.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's simply because that's how we've been programmed, and that's how generations have been programmed, exactly how you talked. And so it is hard, and very few people come out of that mold, and very few parents recognize the talent that the child has when that child is young. With my boys, I have five boys, and I used to, I was a single dad, and when they were young, I had them to practice this type of meditation, was to lay on the bed or the floor, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to really look deep within yourself to find out what is it you really love? What do you love? If you are making, I would tell them, if you're making $1 million a minute, close your eyes. What would you do? What would you still want to do? And, you know, for the first 5 minutes, they'll go get a nice house, get a car. And then I would strip that away. Okay, you have the nice house. You have the nice car. What is it that is inside there beyond that? And it was an exercise that I kept pushing at them. And I would tell them that one of my sons, I told him, if you want to be a garbage man, just and you love doing it, you will find a way how to make money, and someone will see value in how you're doing whatever you're doing, because the stain or the sting of work is no longer there. It is something that you love, and you can do it 24 hours a day. People are going to look at you. Aren't you tired? Aren't you weary? Aren't you this and that? And you're going to look at them and say, 24 hours is not enough. I want to do it more. I love what I'm doing. And so when people see that, Jivan, I think that, I think it's voyeurism in a way, because we get a chance to peek into that person's world as they create from a space that you and I don't start until we're 20s and 30s yeah. and whatever, you know. So it is really a fascinating thing. So what age did you realize, and what was it? What was the catalyst that took you to that place to say, wait a minute, I need to do something different? What was those incidents, stories, situation that brought you to that place?
Yeah, I think really touching on the points you've just mentioned, really, is in order to answer the question. A lot of the time, people think they're lazy, mm-hmm. and I think no one is lazy inherently. It's just, as you've said, they aren't doing something that they enjoy, because if they did, they'd be like, yeah. "Well, 24 hours in the day isn't enough to do that."
Yeah.
So what I've come to realize, especially for men, is that we need a purpose. We need mm-hmm. something to do, a ship to lead and a team to lead or a real focus in order to be happy. I think if we look at suicide rates in men, very, very high.
Yeah.
And I think that comes down to the lack of purpose or not being on the right path as a man. Mm-hmm. Heart attacks Monday mornings is the number one time for heart attacks, because people mm-hmm. wake up with the dread on Monday morning of not doing what they were born to do. So this all ties yeah. in together. And for me, I think the COVID situation, and I'm a strong believer in the best things come from worse situations. And from yeah. the COVID situation, yeah. as you sort of, I think we said off air before we started talking on air, I think was mm-hmm. that a lot of people have come to realize during this time what's important to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes mm-hmm. time alone to ask yourself the right questions. And my current book that I'm writing is primarily based on that. It's basically a question a day to ask yourself through the 365 days a year. You know, what is my purpose? What did I enjoy doing as a child? You know, mm-hmm. as you said earlier, with your kids and sitting them down and with your five kids and sitting them down and asking
yeah.
them questions, that's really how you get the answer. So this book is based on a question a day, you know, how is my relationship with my parents? How can I improve that yeah. relationship? So it's a question and action point for this book. So the question talks a little bit about why that's important. And then an action point for that, you know, what would I do every day if money wasn't an issue? Well, if you would do yeah. that every day, could you actually be paid to do that? Is your skill set mm-hmm. in the right place to actually generate an income from doing that?
Yeah.
Do you burn the boats and just do that outright, or do you continue with your corporate job and run that alongside? So these are all the questions that everyone needs help with, really. And for me, I think this is where my passion lies. You know, I sit up on Cura now and answer people's questions, and I think I've got 50 questions that people have directly ask me in my inbox to answer, and I'm just going to continue mm-hmm. to answer them because for me, sharing this information and helping people to understand themselves is really what drives me really at this point. And
yeah,
that's as important as money, if not more, because the reason that people are so unfulfilled in life is because it's just the money that they're getting. They're not getting anything else for the soul. And that's where that sort of discomfort arises.
Yeah, this the onset of COVID, I think, is a good thing in this sense that it truly has slowed us down. We hide in our necessity of doing things that of no value. We hide within that space, that routine of getting up in the morning, going, brushing your teeth, jumping in the car. That's comfortable. You know, everyone is comfortable. I think what this did was to made us uncomfortable. It made us, it slowed down time. It caused people not to be going to work. You got to be home. So you have to face yourself. You've got to face your accomplishment. You've got to face how you feel as an individual, because now you don't have a place to run all over the place. You've got to face yourself. And I think people are beginning to answer those questions, like you're saying, and we're seeing people resigning by the millions. We see them not going back to work. We see them starting businesses. We see them creating a new world for them and their families. And so, and the employers are being put on this stage now, where everyone can see the greed that governed that whatever industry, that they weren't willing to share some of that wealth, as you say, with the workers by giving them more pay, better benefits, the things that they valued and they liked. And so now those guys are being pushed to the limit, and it's good. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing that the people are now forcing these companies and organizations to reevaluate what's important for their employees if they want to keep them. But even the employees within that, man, they are reevaluating what's important to them, as I said on the onset, and to their family. And they're writing books. They're doing taking classes to find out who they are and to get better as to who they are. And that is my hope, is that those people that are listening to us would be able to touch base with you, get those books, and have that conversation with you so that they can begin to get some answers to some of those questions that you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's different, aren't they? As you said, everyone's an individual. And, you know, yeah. I don't think you can really say that follow these steps and everyone's going to be happy. I think there's a very bespoke nature. You know, everyone's different. They've all got different personality types. They've all got different goals and ambitions. And I think it's about working through that together to ensure that you're coming up with an outcome that reflects their overall ambition. I think there is something called, it's like this in the States, but in the UK, there's the primary school, there's something called a Montessori school, which is different to your normal do English, do maths, etc. What they do is they allow the kids just to free roam and look at maths books, look at building blocks, and understand what the kid naturally is good at, and then help to enhance them in that area. And I think that's what we need to go back to as a school system, really, and ensure that we are developing people in the way that is correct for those people, because you don't judge a fish's ability to climb a tree. You know, you judge a fish's ability to swim in water. And that's, you know, again, coming back to your point, really, in that people are now starting to develop businesses. They're starting to write books. They're starting to do X, Y, and Z and come away from that corporate role. What I would say on that basis is that everything has to be finished before it started. Something I read somewhere. You have to finish in your mind visually what you want before you can actually start it. So if you look at the house that you live in, or the house next door, the architect has to finish that house in his mind before it's created and manifested in reality. The same with everything. So it's all about, as you said, the meditation side, the visualization, to understand. You have to finish an idea in your head. So the book that I've written and the current book that I'm writing I already finished those in my head before I started. I thought, well, what book can I, mm-hmm. you know, how can I put this down to provide value to everyone, made, you know, mm-hmm. and created the idea. And then the book came into manifestation. And obviously the current one is under, is en route to be manifested.
Yeah.
But you have to have it finished before it started. So coming back to the house, the architect looks at it, he writes it down, he makes the blueprint, that goes to the builders build it, and then you've got a lovely house and it's decorated. So it's mm-hmm. all about the power of your mind. You have to think big, yeah. a bit like the Grant Cardone thing, 10X, you know, make a huge idea, because even if you don't reach the huge idea, you're going to be a lot closer than you think to the overall goal, really.
I think also you have to make it big enough to motivate you, because if it's not big enough to motivate you, and motivate you in this, in the times when it's hard, when you don't want to do it, but it's so big that you're like, I just got to do one, let me do one step. You know, that dream is so big that when you get tired, you'll roll over and say, no, I want this. I want this so bad. Because why? It's a reality within your mind. And once it is a reality within your mind and it drops and it owns there, it resides there, you will make your body do what's necessary for you to accomplish that goal, because you have been, as you said, that dream is so big enough. I believe it has to be big enough to motivate you to keep pushing, because if it's small, you'll put it off. You're like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, whatever. And it just keeps stretching out further and further. But when it's big, man, you have to incorporate your visualization. You have to incorporate your meditation. You have to incorporate all of those different tools that they utilize in order to make this thing a reality. And I think that's why we ought to make it big. Because it has to be big enough to get us out of bed when we get tired, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the visualization is key there. And as you said, making a huge goal that that you can really get out of bed in the morning for. I think the other thing that people mm-hmm. don't always take into account is you've got to also look at the cards you've been dealt.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, well, I want to be... So let's take me, for example. I'm 5'10". Let's say I want to be a sprinter. It's pretty much impossible for me to be a sprinter based on my physique. You know, I can sprint every day. I can train every day. I'm never going to be a world-class athlete because my goal and my ambition doesn't really fit the cards that I've been dealt. So if we mm-hmm. look at Joe Rogan as an example, you know, he was a comedian first, wasn't he? He was then a commentator mm-hmm. on the UFC. And then he obviously started a podcast. And again, because of the cards that he had available to him at that point, he's leveraged his position. He's saying, well, I know all of these comedians that I used to be on tour with. I know all of these fighters that I do with the UFC. I know their promoters, etc. So why not just leverage that and create a podcast? Have just general conversations with those. And then off the back of mm-hmm. that, because I've had so many big names on, I can get other people on as well. So you have to, as well as the visualization and having the goal, you have to also understand yourself and the position that you're in to actually understand what the next step is. It's like a game of chess, isn't it? You know, there's no point in trying to take your queen out and checkmate if you're in check yourself, you know. So it's a bit of pragmatism in that respect as well, to ensure that you're not getting overboard. But also you do need to go overboard in some respects to actually motivate you. So it's all about that fine balance, isn't it? With being realistic and optimistic at the same time, to ensure that, you know, you are heading in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think that's where it comes into becoming a better student of yourself. As I said in the onset that, you know, in my mind, enlightenment is when we become better students. That's when you study who you are. You study the things that cause you to do what you do. And then you began to, as you have this vision of whatever you want, if it's classes you need to take, you pursue those. If whatever it is that you need to do. And then you look at, there's this story that that when I was in corporate America, and I it's called Acres of Diamond, and I'm trying to remember the name of the person, but it's about this man had his field, and he was looking for diamonds every other place, and he went and was mining for diamonds at a location. He found some small things, so he sold his land. And apparently he had this monster of a diamond sitting on his in his house, didn't know what it was. And then the person that he sold the property to came, looked at it, and his mine, his property had the biggest mine, a diamond mine, you know, out there. So because he didn't understand who he was, he didn't understand the product that he was even mining for, he didn't put in the research. So you and I have to look what's on our land, in our property, meaning our body, our mind. We have to look into ourselves first before we start looking into other. And like you said, Joe leveraged after he looked into himself, he leveraged everything that he knew, and it changed his life. And so that's the whole process that we are talking about today, so that we can become better students of ourselves, so that we can leverage who we are, our skill set, to achieve the desired outcome that we want out of our life.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said there with the Acres of Diamond story, which I'm familiar with, I think his name was Russell something, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he made a mistake of not dealing with the cards that he's been dealt initially. So he's got the land there. He didn't deal with his own cards.
He didn't look at his land.
Yeah. So if he was playing a game of poker, he'd been dealt his hand. He decided to burn his hand and take another hand, or if you play pontoon or 21. So he didn't first look at his own situation before looking at something else. And I think the phrase is grass is always greener on the other side. He didn't even look at his own side first, did he?
So he didn't look at it.
What he wanted was already there for him, but he felt the need to look elsewhere for that same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you tend to see that a lot as well. When people are searching for something, they tend to find it on the doorstep afterwards. You know, they're searching for a spouse or they're searching for a job, and they travel abroad because they're searching for something. And actually that something is generally within that person. And, you know, one of my goals as a coach is to actually help to extract that from someone, because of, as you've said, the programming they've had from society and individuals and their parents and the TV, etc., and to get beyond that and understand where their position in the world is. A lot of time, you know, unhappiness comes from being unhappy with the position that you play in the world, rather than being unhappy just on a general basis. So I think it's once that's been established, then you know, you're in a position to move forward, aren't we?
Yep. I absolutely agree. I mean, I know I have a couple of friends who had successful businesses after they were fired. You know, it caused them to stop looking. I had a friend of mine that said something to me that messed me up for a long, long time. He was talking about Disney World. And he made a statement that troubled me, and I began to. That's one of the things that sent me started looking at myself and what is within my ability to produce. He said how people are paying millions of dollars a day to go and see, to play in a man's dream. And it troubled me. He said people is coming from all over the world, and that company is making all this money to dance and run around in a man's dream. It messed me up. It really did. And because it was a powerful illustration, it made me begin to look at myself and say, why am I not dreaming? You know, why am I not dreaming and causing my dream to be active and have people to come into my dream? And so I think, as you said, we need to, and I don't know how we're going to do this, you know, but we do need to figure out a way how the children, as parents, we need to become students of our children. Maybe that's the key. And to be able to give them, not to tie them into the system so quick, but give them an opportunity to spring out a little to see where it takes them, you know, because I think all the athletes, and you look back and those guys that love what they do, they loved it from when they were a little child.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it comes down to, a lot of the time, it is the parents that make or break that situation. You know, if it's a parent who is who's fear-based and they're not willing to put all the eggs, all the chips on the table, essentially, and saying, look, you're really good at this, you love it, let's not worry about your education as much, let's just go all out and make sure that this happens.
Yeah, let's explore.
And they both work in line with each other, the parent and the child, male, female, so daughter or son, and they work together in order to get that aim. A lot of the time what parents do is they want to try and play it safe as well for the child and say, oh, make sure you've got a backup, you know, go to school and get an education. Mm-hmm. In case this doesn't work out, you know, you can get a job in a bank or building society or whatever. And for me, that plays a major part in not only the child's decision to the time that the child puts into that activity, but also on a mental basis, the child is thinking, yeah, this might not work out actually. Yeah, we need to think of a plan B. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger puts it best, and well, him and Dan Pena, I think, as well. So Arnold Schwarzenegger says, look, plan A, if you've got a plan B, you're taking power away from plan A.
Yeah.
And then Dan says, plan B is just plan A again. Plan C is just plan A again. Plan D is plan A again. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's quite powerful, really, in terms of how to think about it. Because at the end of the day, unless you're determined to get something, you know, life puts its tests out there, I think, on purpose. People say something to you and it's meant to, you're meant to interpret it in a way that changes you, which is, as you said a minute ago, you know, the dream thing. It's changed you forever, that specific situation.
Yep.
And I think that's by design. I think we are meant to experience things that purposely get us to the path that we're meant to be on. And sometimes that could be something very life-changing, like a car crash or a death of a loved one. Or it could be something that someone just says to you one time and you think, never really looked at it in that way. So I think the universe is trying to help us to fulfill our objective and our purpose. But for some people, it just takes longer than others. And for some people, they need help, you know, counselling or a coach or a mentor. For others, it's just about the introspection side, isn't it? Or maybe a good book.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone's different. Yeah. And it's just trying to work out how the best way to get that achieved is.
To get that, yeah. I believe, and I always tell my audience, when you get a book, whatever that book is, you're having a private session with that author. And that author is there with you when you're comfortable and you are able to communicate and have a better conversation and exchange that is deeper in many cases, because that revelation will come out of those pages, because the power that person wrote those words with will leap out of the page and grab you and engulf your mind and help you to make a decision based on it. I know I've studied a couple of, used to study a lot of war tactics and so forth. And yeah, I remember reading where one of the generals had, when he got his men across the bridge, he burned the bridge and he said, it's just straight ahead, you know, and he gave them no choice to retreat. And so we have to learn to do that within our minds, to give ourselves no way to retreat. And I think once we are doing that and we've created that type of scenario within our mind, it's amazing how powerful the mind is, because the thoughts of, as we rehearse those thoughts, you will manifest what you think about. You become that. And we see those guys testify that, some of those athletes and businessmen. You have physicians that were dreaming to be doctors. Kids want to be doctors. Kids want to be teachers. Some of the best teachers in the world are those teachers that those kids that were little kids wanted to be teachers. And so it is the responsibility of the parent, I believe, in some format to unplug. And so it is our hope that as we grow as a human species, that we would learn to investigate some of these institutions that we have established to govern our families and society, because apparently, if you look outside your window, man, it's not working, is it?
No, exactly. And you mentioned the burn the bridges. There's also a burn the boats phrase as well. That's basically the same thing.
Yeah,
where they burnt the boats. They to take the island, they burnt the boats to say you've got no way to retreat. And it just does something extra for you, doesn't it, in terms of your psychology and your mentality. The other few things you said there as well that 100% agree with and they're 100% true is there's a book by, I think it's James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. You know, what you think about is what you become. For a lot of people, they believe they are lazy. They tell themselves, I'm lazy, I'm fat, you know, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that. Yes. And what tends to happen is they then, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, if I can get my words out, and they tend to become more of that. What you should be telling yourself is, I'm, you know, I am athletic, I am strong. So actually, just to take a quick side step on that. So if people are trying to improve themselves, they can still make mistakes. So what they tend to do is they will say things like, I don't want to be fat. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to drink. They are what's called negative-based goals. So instead, what you should say, instead of saying, I don't want to be fat, I want to be athletic. It's a positive-based goal, but it means the same, you know, the same, it sort of means the same thing, but it doesn't. To your subconscious mind, it doesn't mean the same thing. The best way I can explain it is that your mind can't comprehend the negative. So if I said to you, Ken, don't think of elephants, you think of elephants, don't you? Automatically, an image comes into your head of an elephant. And the subconscious works in that way. So to set goals, it should be a positive-based goal rather than a negative-based one. So, you know, again, what you think about, the words are very important. So affirmations are a good way to actually help you to become more confident and improve that self-esteem. So, you know, maybe writing that down can help, or just saying it to yourself, or looking in the mirror and feeling good about yourself. I think all of those things help to ensure that, you know, from a psychological perspective, as you said, with the burn the bridges, that you're putting yourself in a peak state to achieve something.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think I did an exercise with my children to show them the immediate effect of the thoughts and the spoken word. And I used my eldest and my youngest son. And I had my eldest son stand, had them facing each other stand. Had my eldest son with his hands out and my youngest son next facing him. And at the exercise, I told him, I said, I want, Jonathan, who is my eldest son, I said, I want you to say negative words. I'm weak. I'm all of these things and everything negative. And then I had his little brother, and I told Jonathan, I said, do your best to keep your hands straight. He had it all the way out. And I told his little brother, Joshua, pull his hands down. And I told Jonathan, make sure that he can't do that. But I want you to keep repeating those words. And his little brother would just put his hand on it. And I told Jonathan, hold it as hard as you can. Couldn't do it. His hands dropped. And so I had his younger brother did the opposite. And I told him, I said, I want you to say, I am strong and all of that type of words. And then I told his bigger brother, okay, try to push his hand down. Do you know he couldn't move his hands? And I wanted them to see the immediate effect of words and how it affects us at a cellular level, and it manifests in the body. So and my goal was to show them the power of words, of what you say is powerful. It creates things, starting with your body, which will then manifest in sicknesses and disease. All of these things, in many cases, came from what we say.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good experiment, if you want to call it an experiment, a good practice. I've never really heard of people doing that, especially with their own kids. But, you know, you saw it firsthand yourself, and as did your oldest and youngest sons there, that the power of the word is so important. And you know, it's been said throughout history, you know, that the pen is more powerful than the sword. And, you know, in the Bible, even, you know, knocking it will be opened, etc. So it's all about what you're asking and what you're telling yourself as to what you get in response. So again, back to that negative programming, people say, I don't want to be single. What the mind hears is single. If you say, I want a relationship, it means, you know, this, you try and say the same things, but it's, as women tend to say, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. You know, it's a lot of the time it's what that connotation is that's important. So, you know, with you know, your kids, for example, on a physical level, there was no difference. But on a mental level, because of what they said to themselves and affirmed to their mind, the mind immediately reacted. And if you can imagine what that happened in such a short space of time, imagine if that happened over a space of 10 years and you keep telling yourself, I'm weak, I'm helpless, I'm this, I'm poor, I'm that. It can have huge ramifications to your psyche and to your external life within that as well.
And I think that's why your first book deals with that, seeing the value with yourself. When you listen to people, you can tell the space that they're in by how they're speaking. And so it's very interesting as you are walking by and you hear conversations. I can tell you where they're at. And but your book is your first book deals with those subjects. And anyone that's listening, you guys need to get his book so that you can see what he was talking about. So I want to thank you for coming by, man. Threads of Enlightenment. This has been a beautiful conversation. I think what you're on, the first half, we just talked about that first book, I believe, what we just talked about just now, dealt with that, the value of who you are. And guys, you need to see the value of who you are, because it is important. And once you see the value of who you are, your language to yourself will change. Your mindset to yourself will change. The behavior of yourself will change. And it will propel you to start and to get to the second book, which he's putting together. And that is to those questions that you have to ask yourself as to help you to get to a deeper level, to you getting to know who you are, and that you can become this better human spirit, as all of us are endeavoring to do. Thank you so much for coming by, man.
Thank you very much, Ken. Honestly, been fantastic to speak with you. And I think you've asked some really penetrating questions, which I think is always good. And I think for a lot of our viewpoints, we've been on the same page, really. And we've been sort of bouncing off the same idea to each other.
Back and forth.
You know, you saying something, you know, I'm saying, oh, do you know what? I've had an experience of that, and vice versa. So I think it's been really, really good today, Ken. Really enjoyed it.
Excellent, man. And I'm going to provide all of his information so you can get to him. Get me an email and all the other stuff so that I can get to them, so that they can buy your books. And I know you have a link to your book, and you know you have your upcoming one. Do you know when you think it might be up, so I can keep that, you know, so I can notify the people?
Yeah. So, again, we talked about goals, haven't we, over some of the conversation today. And for me, I'm looking to have that out in October. And I know it's quite a while away yet, but this 365 questions needs to be, you know, vetted and published, etc. So we're probably looking at around the October time for that one. But the
Excellent.
Current book that's available is available on ebook and paperback now. So, you know, get onto Amazon, become a person of value, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Excellent. Thank you so much again. And God bless, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Cheers. Bye.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.